Zimbabwe, welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And tonight we are discussing the country's new currency, the ZiG, which is expected to start circulating next week. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. Every April, the sitting U.S. president and the White House media gather to make fun of each other. The star-studded White House correspondents' dinner this Saturday is a good time to analyze how a president changes the speech to his audience. Here's VOA's senior Washington correspondent Caroline Presetto about what to expect this year in the middle of a campaign.
It's where the magnificent with glamour and glitz meet the mundane with policy and politics. Journalists run the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but the real stars are the president and the comedian chosen to entertain. Sometimes the president is the comedian.
I've been criticized for going over the head of Congress. So what's the fuss? A lot of things go over their heads.
The April dinner makes fun of the sitting president, who responds with customized one-liners for the White House reporters and their guests. Those guests include Hollywood stars and other celebrities.
After all, I believe in the First Amendment, not just because my good friend Jimmy Madison wrote it.
In this election year, longtime dinner guests expect President Biden to allude to his opponent.
I think one of his central themes throughout his presidency has been the importance of democracy and the fragile nature of it at this particular time.
It's an American tradition for every president. But in 1981, President Ronald Reagan missed the dinner because he was recovering from an assassination attempt. Since then, every president has attended the event, except Donald Trump, who never attended during his term.
I think that just wasn't something that he was interested in doing.
Especially after 2011, when businessman Trump suffered a barrage of criticism from President Barack Obama and comedian Seth Meyers.
Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke.
No one is happier. No one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donald. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing?
Others say the slam cemented his idea to run for president, which Trump denies. Most presidents make fun of the media and then use the opportunity to praise it.
The free press is a pillar. Maybe the pillar of a free society, not the enemy.
Especially in a world where reporters could be jailed for making a joke of the president, as noted by comedian Trevor Noah 2 years ago.
You understand how amazing that is? I stood here tonight and I made fun of the president of the United States, and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine, right?
The benefit of democracy and a free press are on display in Washington again this Saturday night. Caroline Presutti, VOA News.
Thanks, Caroline. Asian Americans are the fastest growing group of eligible voters in the United States, according to the Pew Research Center. That makes them an important focus for presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has our story.
There are 2 million more Asian American voters in this U.S. presidential election than there were when Joe Biden and Donald Trump first faced off 4 years ago, according to Pew Research. That increase makes them a voting force that could be the difference between Biden and Trump in close races, including in the states of Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada, says voting activist Christine Chen.
When campaigns are looking for additional votes, because, you know, elections are being won by thin margins, they really need to look at the Asian American electorate. Because in 2020, over 21% of our electorate were first-time voters. So we're highly motivated.
What are motivated Asian American voters looking for in a president? VOA went out and asked some.
To me, I'm looking for a good energy of the president, be able to have good thinking, right? Making the right decisions, and not just waiting on the on the staff around him to do that. But
to me, it doesn't matter with the age, as long as they could do the work and they could get the to help it, to help all the citizens to get better with job, with opportunity, with business, try to protect from the war. That is the main thing for everyone, I believe.
I like to see more younger people in power because they have more time, especially they have more strength. It's not that elders that they don't, but it's time for the new generation.
I really think that everyone on the presidential ticket today should belong to a new generation. I really do.
Asian American, Pacific Islander, and Native Hawaiian voters are most motivated by economic and foreign policy concerns, according to an Associated Press poll late last year, with roughly 3 in 10 saying their priorities are inflation and immigration.
I think it's more the immigration, because I've seen a lot of the Asian community, a lot of being deported back to Cambodia. So I would like to find out more about immigration. What can we do to help people here not in Cambodia?
Healthcare, the issues on healthcare, immigration, very important for me. Also, just like voting rights and making sure that, you know, like elections are not messed with and everything's legit.
The three issues important to me include immigration, economy, and the war in Ukraine and Israel. And I think the potential escalated conflict in Middle East.
Asian American voters were a factor in midterm elections in the state of Pennsylvania 2 years ago and are expected to be a focus for both campaigns in a state that could go either way in November's presidential vote. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Thanks, Scott, for that report. President Emmerson Mnangagwa, accompanied by his twin sons, Sean and Collins, and businessman Wikinao Chivayo and other dignitaries, today toured the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair currently underway in Bulawayo. Addressing journalists during the tour, President Mnangagwa said he was pleased with this year's exhibitions, which included exhibitors from Kenya, the European Union, and others. The fair entered its fourth day today and is expected to be officially opened by Kenyan President William Ruto tomorrow. The United States Embassy is participating at ZITF, and the U.S. Embassy staffer Larry Socha commented on the introduction of the Zimbabwe's new currency, the ZiG, at the trade fair. Let's hear what he had to say.
As we've seen, climate, El Nino, and the drought here in Zimbabwe are a challenge for many individuals. In January of this year, the United States announced another $11 million to support lean season assistance. That is assistance and support for local communities in four rural districts to help more than 230,000 Zimbabweans make ends meet during this difficult time. The president, of course, has declared a natural disaster. President Mnangagwa has declared an emergency. And what we hope to do is to work regionally with other countries as this drought is affecting not only Zimbabwe, but Zambia and other neighbors, and to work with assessment teams, to work with partners and understand the situation so that help can be delivered to those who need it most. The United States has supported Zimbabwe with agricultural and food security programs over the last 5 years with $115 million. Since 2011, we have created and helped repair over 2,600 irrigation systems, dams, and other water infrastructure projects. And we hope that this investment over the last...
That there was the U.S. Embassy staffer Larry Socha in Bulawayo. ZITF Chairman Busiso Moyo gave a breakdown of the number of exhibitors at this year's fair.
The total number of exhibitors is 766. Of that 706, about 15% are foreign exhibitors. And Lapa go Bulawayo, I'm a company, I will give you about 20%. Asimlindeleyo lapha ukuze sisungulela umbukiso wethu walonyaka ku-2024 President William Ruto. Uyafika nje ngiyasuka lapha ngisiya umhlangabeza e-airport.
At that day was ZITF Chairman Busisa Moyo at the ZITF speaking to Studio 7's Anastasia Ndlovu in Bulawayo. An exhibitor at the fair, Nolwazi Mbano, said she was pleased to be participating at this year's fair.
I do beat and stuff, I do cure guns, I do bang beats, I also do bags. Ndizobukisa iDreams yancedisa yamfundisa ukuyenza ibeatwork. I was trained to do ibeatwork. Currently, I'm going to kuzenzela amabank, amakeyholder, amabanks, and ngilapha nje ibeats. Izinto zami ziyathengwa njengokubona sezizinto utshwane so sezithengwe.
Yimini ongakhuthaza abanye ontanga?
Engakhuthaza abontanga yikuthi bengahlaleli izandla. Abayenzi imisebenzi yezandla ibe mali. Akulandaba lokuthi ufundile ngoba ufundanga, imisebenzi yezandla iyabhadala.
So uhlelo lwephepha leDreams luthuthukise kangakanani impilo yakho?
For me, iphepha isinguqulile yangithatha from a poor background, but now I'm now an independent lady, I'm now an independent young woman. Sengikwanisa ukuzenzela imali yami, sengihambile esikolo, ngiyazibhadalela, I'm doing a degree in social work because of Dreams. Ngaba so Dreams, maybe ngabe ngihlalile ekhaya khona ngale, maybe ngase ngilabantwana kumbe five, but because of Dreams, ngiyafunda, ngiyakwanisa ukuzenzela izikhwama zami, ngithengise, ngihambe esikolo.
That there was Nolwazi Mbano, an exhibitor at the trade fair, speaking to Studio 7's Anastasia Ndlovu in Bulawayo. Please stay tuned as we take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And today we're discussing the country's new currency, the ZiG, which is expected to start circulating next week. To discuss this issue, we are joined on the line by Professor Gift Mogano, a professor of economics at Durban University of Technology. And I understand we also have Professor Ricky Mukonza from South Africa. But I'll start off with you, Professor Mogano. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
I'll go straight in. We see that the ZiG will be introduced next week, according to the Reserve Bank, but there are so many questions that are being asked by people as to what's going to happen. Tell us, you're on the ground. What's the situation like regarding the ZiG right now?
Okay, thank you very much. The facts on the ground is that the ZiG was introduced on 5 April, 2024. Then we moved into electronic platforms being converted into ZiG transfers for particularly the ZiG dollar balances. What you are referring to is coming on board next week, the notes. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a sense that government has not been very fair to the public because they did not put on board the notes immediately, as we witnessed in the past experiences of current reforms. Maybe I would want to prophesy that I guess that they wanted to kind of hold on to a bit of stability, because without much not in the circulation, maybe they were thinking that liquidity in the market would be very limited. But to then answer your question, to be very specific, on the ground, we are hearing that the official rate is 13.56 ZIG, $1. Official rate, but the black market is above, it's around 23 ZIG. So already before even the notes hit the ground, the black market is already ahead of the game. That is a symbol of that. But what I also have noted is that prices of ZIG have also kind of doubled in some supermarkets as they try to correct the differences between the black market rate and the official rate. So in the formal shops, the prices are very expensive, but in the tuck shops and the brutes or the pavements, prices are very cheap because there they use the black market rate and their pricing regime is different. So ZIG already has failed before it starts operating in terms of the availability of cash.
Mm-hmm. Tombopinda murimirwa mai Professor Mugano kuti tiri kuona kuti vamwe vari kusungwa vanoita nyaya idzodzi vana change money nezvimwe zvingabatsira here izvi pachasvika iro ZIG mumaoko evanhu?
Vari kusunga vanhu vasina mari yakawanda, vakomana nevasikana vanenge vari kurodipot, vanhu vanototambudzika zvakanyanya, vasina mabasa, vanenge vachishandira kuti dzimwe dzenguva panopera zuva vangadai vaitawo profit $10 yekuti vaende kunochengeta mhuri dzavo. Nekuti takazviona izvozvizvi, Governor of Central Bank mazuva maviri apfuura vakanga vari muparliament vechiti vakatumira vakomana vavo kufinancial intelligence unit kuti vanoenda kunosora kuedza kutenga $100,000 murod mustreet, asi vakapedza zuva rese havana kuitenga. Ichireva kuti kuroad port kana kuti maroad mastreet hamuna mari. Vanhu vane mari vari pablack market vanhu vanogadzira maroad nemadams ehurumende, macontractors vanobhadharwa nemari yakawanda kwazvo nehurumende naminister of finance. Vanhu ivava havaendi kuna 4th street. Vanhu vanotochaya chinja marates avo pafoni kana kungodedza munhu kuofisi kana mumota uchitidhraivhira kana mukumba chaiko. Saka havakwanisi kuti vamise black market. Tikazvitarisa zvinhu zvakanaka zvekuti vanhu vari muinformal sector vanosvika 7 million tichiongorora mapepa akaitwa neWorld Bank. Saka hurumende yeZimbabwe haina capacity yekusunga vanhu 7 million yavaisa mujera, kana kuti majera acho hatina futi anopinda vanhu 7 million. Ndoda kumira ndichiti chinoita kuti mari yedu iwane simba inhau yezvinhu zvakasiyana siyana, kuti Reserve Bank haifani kuramba ichipinda mari mumaket iyeri kupinda mari, veminister of finance haifani kungoisa mari vachishandisa ikeshi kubhadhira maroad. Tinofanira tine production yacho hatina, tiri kutotenga matoothpick, mapamba, chikafu, zvese tirongotenga, tiri kubudisa mari yemaus zvinopedza simba US dollar zim dollar. Tiri kupedzisira nechekuti ZIGI haisi yakawana simba kana hurumende yeZimbabwe pachezvayo ichiramba kutambira ZIGI kumajuti, kumatextbook, nekufiwa, nekumapassport. Nekuti munhu woga woga kana akuda passport achaenda kublack market kwaanoziva munhu kwaasakwanisi kusunga. Kana akuda fiwa achaenda kublack market. Asi dai hurumende yaiti kana wechida fiwa enda otenga neZIGI kugaraji, ndiye ana anozoenda kublack market kunotsvaka ZIGI iye chaanda yepeturo. Vekumatakshop vanenge vakubhadharawo juti neZIGI. Saka vanozopawo mukana kuti vanhu kana vakuenda kumatakshop vaonotengawo nechii neZIGI, nekuti vanenge vada kutambira ZIGI vazobhadhara juti. Zvino hurumende iri kuti takarasema hatisi kuzomboda ZIGI yero pajuti kana kupassport. Saka kusunga vanhu hakubatsiri. Chinotodiwa inyaya yekuti zvinotaura izvi, hurumende ngaiite kuti ZIGI ravo ritambirwe. Kana hurumende yariramba, ko isusu chedu chii pamuchati wedhongi nedere?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'll now switch over to you, Professor Ricky Mukonza. Could you comment on the political economy side regarding the ZIG and also on what Professor Mugano has just said?
Thank you very much, Marvelous, and good evening to your listeners. I totally agree with what Professor Mgano is just alluded to in terms of the ZIG, the new Zimbabwean current, likely to fail before it is even, you know, physically introduced into the economy. I think what I would want to just add, because it will not serve any purpose to repeat what he has already succinctly put, I think our listeners need to understand that there is a proven linkage between politics and the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Many scholars have written about this this linkage, and a country that succeeds economically needs to have a stable and a predictable political environment. I mean, I'll take you, my beloved listeners, to the last year's elections, where they, you know, were disputed at the end, and the dispute has not been settled in a manner that brings confidence to the political environment, and that then, you know, sets an environment of you know, conflict. It may not be explicit conflict. It will be, you know, in some cases very tacit. But people are not happy. People are disgruntled. You have people not trusting the government. But that's why I'm now going to the economy, because now the government now wants to bring in a new currency, a structured currency. With all this, you know, lack of trust, with people having very low confidence levels on the entire political system, you know, people are less likely to trust them when they now make announcements on key economic decisions such as the current. So we have a challenge of a political system that people are not happy with, and now the government thinks that they can fix the economy just like that. It will not work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'll come back to you, Professor Mugano. So what is the way forward? You're an economist. If government say to you, okay, this is where we are, we are seeing where we're going wrong, how can it be fixed?
And I want to build from what my fellow brother professor indicated, that without sorting politics, we will not move forward. We need dialogue, right, as a starting point, and have a government that has got representation of people's expectation. You cannot have a government that is not going to be looking at the meeting the expectation of the electorate. You remember 2009 to 2013, with the government of national unity, our average growth rate was about 10.7%, because we had a shared vision as a people. Right now, we have Zimbabwe that is divided into two. The ones which voted for Nelson Chamisa, more than half of the population, right? Then also we have a significant share for ZANU-PF, right? So Zimbabwe must have a shared vision. As long as we are standstill, it's difficult to move any economic policy. And I would want to argue that running a country cannot be run by force. Policy implementation cannot be done by those who are in office. It's done by all of us. So even those who are outside are running the country, because they will decide where they put their money. I'll give you a very simple illustration. The informal sector is as big as above 80% of the economy, and the formal sector is just below 20%.
And in the informal sector, they have their own governor, central bank. They have their own banks, the mattress bank, the pillow bank, the boxy bank, anything which you can think of. They don't care about the ZIG which you are talking about. Their life is moving. And they will not adhere to the policy of the current government because there's a lack of trust. We have lost our money. We have changed our currency, almost 6 currencies now. So who is going to be listening to this government which has lost trust and we have lost our pensions and we have lost our lives? So you need a government that is trusted, and that can only happen in proper elections where there are elections and a credible government is elected, is trusted, is given a chance. And I will tell you that this is a difficult thing for our country because we have a government which was disputed, rejected by SADC, rejected by African Union, European Union, rejected by Zimbabweans. It's clinging in there by force and might, but the economy is going to make life difficult for them. The biggest SADC right now is not even SADC, which we know on paper, it's the economy. It will sort things out. So we need a dialogue, which will see us having a government properly elected. If government of ZANU-PF win in a free and fair election, so be it. If the opposition led by President Nelson Mandela win, so be it. If there's an inclusive government which will come out as a result of the election, so be it. That's where we should go. If we don't do that, I can tell you, in any way, we'll not reach 2025. This economy is going to explode. Mm-hmm. So we still come back to what I'm saying.
Thank you there. Let me go to my caller. Hello, caller. Mkoma Tafadzwa, Taurai Tinswe.
Rado wadambu ziko futiru ratato naro. Kiri mabonda atanga tina wataka atuone zikifaa mbaba.
Aiwa, tinotenda Mkoma Tafadzwa. I'll come back to you, Professor Mukonza, to give your last word as we wrap up our program before we let Mr. Mugano wrap it up. Go ahead.
I think what I would want, just to urge the government of Zimbabwe, is that they must be considerate to the suffering of the people of Zimbabwe. We would all agree that the crisis in Zimbabwe has been going on for far too long. And there are generations that have lost, what it means to have a good life. There are generations that have lost savings of an entire period in which they were working, they lost their savings, their pensions, and so forth. So I think what Professor Mgano has put to the table is what I think should be the way forward. A consensus of some sort needs to be found so that things work out, not for the political elites, but for the generality of the Zimbabwean people.
Thank you so much. Professor Gift Mugano, your last word as we wrap up.
We need a political solution before we get to economic solution. And this is time for Zimbabweans, our leaders, across all divides, to unite and address the political question before we think of an economic question. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank there our guests. We had two professors in the house, Professor Gift Mugano and also Professor Ricky Mukonza. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.